Welcome to the Party Wreckers Podcast, hosted by professional interventionists Matt Brown and Sam Davis. This is a podcast for families or individuals with loved ones who are struggling with addiction or alcoholism and are reluctant to get the help that they need. We hope to educate and entertain you while removing the fear from the conversation. Stay with us and we'll get you through it. Please welcome the Party Wreckers, Matt Brown and Sam Davis.
Sam Davis, we are back. It seems like lately every episode that we have recorded with, you know, what's it been, like a week since we recorded the last one?
You think?
It just seems like every episode I start out by saying, we're back. And it's just, these are few and far between lately. You and I have both had a lot going on in our lives. But I'll tell you, Sam, it's nice to be back in the studio with you. It's nice to be recording again. How's life in Virginia? How was your Easter?
Everything's good, man. I haven't been on here in so long. I forgot what it is that we do. I don't even know.
I think this is a conspiracy theory podcast. Yes, I think it's something about conspiracy theories. We like to get in here and chop it up a little bit.
What do we talk about? We talk about addiction. What do we talk about? Hunting, fishing?
Yeah.
What do we do?
Yeah, let's talk about it. Springtime, we can get into some fishing.
Nah, it's good to be back, man. It really is. It's been too long. I mean, you've had some family stuff going on. I've had family stuff going on, and that's what has to come first to me, I think.
Yeah, I know that in the last episode we talked a little bit about what you were going through with your dad and your mom, and I hope you're well, and I hope your family's well. I know that I was a little cagey about, you know, what I was going through, but Katie, my wife, is just on the other side of surgery from breast cancer, and everything went well. She's about a month out now from having had the surgery back in February, and all the outcomes look good. She's going to start radiation here pretty soon, but they think that they caught it early enough and surgery took care of it. So we're hopeful.
That's good, man. I'm glad to hear it. That's a scary situation. You never know, you know?
Yep. But the kids are good. Katie's good. We're looking like we're on the other side of this medical crisis at least. So that's good. Not to dwell too much on the negative, but yeah, we've had some stuff going on and it's life. This is what life is, man. Life is just kind of a series of hardships and ups and downs and the good times and the bad times, and we're dealing with them.
Yeah. Taking it as it comes.
Yes, sir.
So got these four agreement cards, and these are cards from a book that's called The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz.
Ruiz.
Don Miguel Ruiz. And these four agreements are, what are the four agreements? You know what they are? Be impeccable with your word.
Be impeccable with your word. Don't take anything personally. What are the other two? Pay your
Always
taxes
do your
on
best.
Time. And don't talk shit.
Yeah, always do your best is one, right?
Yes, it is.
Always do your best and don't make assumptions.
There you go. Yep, that's number four.
Yeah, that's the four. I mean, I've read the book a bunch of times, but when you put me on the spot and ask me what
you're
the
one who put us on that. You put us on the spot. Are you kidding me?
I know, right?
Don't give me that. Don't put that on me. You're the one who put me on the spot. I had to make shit up.
I set us up. Yeah, man. So I don't do it every morning. I wish I did. The world probably would benefit a little better if I did do it every morning, but I don't. But in the mornings that I do it, I get up and I say get a little quiet, get my coffee, and I'll pull out one of these cards, because these cards go along with the book and they're just little snippets of, you know, how to go about your day. So I'll sit and I'll read these cards and I'll sit quiet with it for a little while, and more often than not, I'll go on out the door after I do this, forgetting that I've done it, and, you know, make assumptions and don't do my best and not impeccable with my word. And I take everything everyone says personally. But on the days that I do remember that I did this, like, my day is better. Like, I can handle things that are coming my way. Like, really nothing that can come down the pike that can get me off my rocker, so to speak. But anyway, I mean, we had these cards, and you and I read one this morning, and I'm going to read it for the audience. If we have an audience, we've been so long.
Before we do that, can I make a couple?
Yeah, please.
Okay, so before we get into this, and I forget, because I will forget as soon as we start talking about this. At the end of this month, I believe it's April 27th and 28th, in Portland, Oregon, at Cielo Recovery Center, we have our first intervention training of 2024. So if anybody is listening and you have considered working as an interventionist and would like to get certified as an interventionist, or if you're working in a treatment setting where you work with families on a direct basis, I really feel like this is a training that would benefit you. So come on out. It's going to be the weekend of the 27th and 28th. We will start early, about 8-9 o'clock on the 27th, and finish up in the afternoon of Sunday, the 28th. And we'd love to have you there. The other invitation that I want to make is, you know, we've only had one episode since we really started doing this. We started this back in December, but every Thursday night at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern time, Intervention on Call, Sam and I do a friends and family group where for free for an hour every Thursday, you can come on with us. You'll have to register at Intervention on Call, but you can come on with us. You can talk about specific things to you and your family and your loved one who's struggling with addiction or alcoholism, and get real-time advice on how to help that situation. It's something that we felt like was important to give families some exposure to what working with an interventionist might be like, to what a private session might be like on Intervention on Call, where you bring multiple family members to the platform where we can coach you individually and or as a group on how to help your loved one. And so I want to invite anybody who's listening, or if you work at a treatment center, you know, want to pass this along to the families that you're working with, by all means, feel free. We'd love to have as many people as we can get on those Thursday night meetings. We've had pretty good turnout for the most part every week, anywhere from 4 families to 14, 16 families on these Thursday night meetings. So come one, come all, you're all welcome.
Yeah, it's always a good time. I enjoy those Thursday night meetings. Man, it's been that long since we've done one. That's why we're rusty today.
Yeah,
it's been that long, and we are rusty.
There's a lot of reasons we're rusty, but that's probably the biggest one.
We are. I feel like we're fumbling on this thing so far this morning. We're just kind of dragging along.
That's all right. We'll get back in the rhythm. It's like riding a bike. You know, we might have a few janky first goes around the pedal, but we'll be all right. Let's talk about the four agreements now that I got the announcements out of the way.
All right. So our card this morning from the four agreements says you don't need the acceptance of others. You don't need knowledge or great philosophical concepts. You have the right to be you. And you express your own divinity by being alive and by loving yourself and others. Cool little thing to sit with for a little bit, you know, before you go out and start your day. So many things could be, I think, avoided. So much conflict could be avoided if people would just not get up in the morning, roll out of bed, hop in the shower, and just bolt on throughout their day. You know, like, you have a tendency to overreact. You have a tendency to overthink. You have a tendency to be in more anxiety when you do stuff like that. I think the world would be a much better place if everyone started their day just taking a couple minutes. Just take maybe 5 minutes. Read something that's going to be profound for you that day. Sit with it. See how you can apply it. And then go out with some purpose.
You know, I agree. It's tough. I can always find an excuse to not do that. I can always find an excuse. Well, I got to get up. I got to get the kids ready. I got to get them off to school. You know, I got this to do and that to do and work and, you know, family. And there's always a reason that I can tell myself why this isn't a priority. But you're right. I think to start the day with some intention is it helps me. It gives me kind of a path forward. It gives me something to ponder on throughout the day. And I think that today's is really good because the one word that I guess that, you know, when we first read this before we started today was authenticity. Like, how hard is it to let people see us for who we are, the real us? How hard is it to just to get real. I think so many times we want to show up the way, at least I'll speak for myself, I want to show up the way that I think is going to look best to whoever I'm in front of. And I compromise who I am sometimes, not in massive ways, but just the little things. I'll agree with things that I don't agree with, or I won't speak out on something that I disagree with, or I'll not challenge a thought, or maybe not be silly when I want to be silly, or serious when I need to be serious. I'll cover up a lot of seriousness with humor sometimes. So it's I think I rob myself of opportunities to accept myself and let others accept me, or not, just out of fear.
I'll tell you a good practice that sort of conditions you and I to not take anything personally, or being authentic and not being concerned really about the outcome of social media. I mean, when you put your beak out there on there, put your mug out there on the camera for everyone in the world to see, and there's a lot of keyboard warriors out here that don't mind being critics. Like, the first few times that happens, it hurts, like it stings. But the more that happens, and the more you see the world doesn't end, and you know, you keep on moving with life, man, it's really helped me be more authentic. It really has. Now, you know, I'm not going to get on camera and I'm not going to, you know, talk about all the horrible stuff that happens in my day. Sometimes I do, but I'm not going to, you know, I think there are videos that I put out, there's content that I put out that is not 100% authentic me to some degree.
In what way? That you're holding back, or you're presenting something that's not
true? No. Not that I'm presenting something that's not true. Just holding back.
Okay, good.
Holding back.
Yeah.
You know, I can tell, like, through some of my business social posts or content, I'm very cautious around my accent.
Oh, interesting.
Or more cautious around my accent than not. And that's not authentic me. Authentic me is I talk the way I talk.
You know, when you talk about authenticity, the person that comes to mind, and I've read, you know, a number of her books now, and this is something that she really focuses on, is shame and vulnerability and authenticity, is Brené Brown. And, you know, when you talk about holding back, one of the things that she's really clear on in what she writes is that the only people that have deserved to hear our stories are the ones that have earned the right to hear it. And I don't think that everybody has earned that right. I don't think we have to be entirely transparent with everybody. But as long as we are truthful with what we show people, I think that's authentic. You know, I don't think that being completely transparent 100% of the time is sustainable. You know, I think we leave ourselves open to criticism. I think we leave ourselves open to pain. And frankly, I think we leave ourselves open to pain to people who could be predators. You know, you and I both know that there are people out there that are just looking for a reason to pounce. They're looking for a reason, you know, to get that blood in the water and get the feeding frenzy going on, and especially on social media. And I think that there is a level of caution that's needed around that. But at the same time, if we could just be unapologetically us in those moments where, even if we're not sharing 100%, but what we're sharing, is 100% truthful, I think that's enough. Whether it's in an intervention, whether it's sharing our story in a meeting or sharing in a meeting, or whether it's on social media, as long as it's truthful, there's nothing to apologize for. But I think that it's fear in a number of different forms that prevents us from doing that. I know it is with me. Well, how am I going to look? What are they going to think? Is this going to hurt my business? Is this going to help my business? Do I need to embellish the story a little bit so that I look even better? You know, all of those things. All those things go through my mind sometimes.
No one's a bigger critic of me than me. Like, no one. Like, no one's harder on me than me. And, like, you know, I have at times, man, I had so much fear around being authentic when I'm going to meet people face to face, when I'm going to like a conference or a luncheon or anything of that nature, is that I'm so afraid of being judged that I am first going to judge them and determine that I don't like them. So that way, when they start judging me, that I don't really give a shit because I don't like them anyway. Like, I'll set the whole thing up before I even walk in the door. I'll set the thing up when I'm looking at someone, and I just assume, I'm making assumptions, like four agreements be damned out the window when I get in these little spots. Like, I'm gonna first judge you, so, and determine that I don't like you. I'm gonna look for something that I don't like, and I'm gonna be like, I don't like you. So if you do judge me, then I don't care because I didn't like you anyway. Does that make sense? I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I already rejected you in my head first, so this really doesn't matter. Yes. The fact that you're now rejecting me is really insignificant. Absolutely, I do that all the time.
And then I'll leave there, right, man, and I'll be riding home, or I'll be in my bed, or I'll be, you know, sitting on be anywhere, and be like, man, I suck as a friend. Like, I suck in relationships. Like, I don't know. Like, my friends know, I hope they know that if they really need, like, if they need me, if they're broke down in North Carolina or West Virginia or they're in a bind, like, call me and like, hey, man, I need you. Like, I'm dropping my shit and I'm coming for you. Like, I'll be there. But reaching out and checking on people and like, or inviting people, or again, engaging with people through the week, or, you know, hey, you want to go here? You want to go out to dinner? You want to do that? Like, I feel like I suck at that. Like, I feel like I suck at, like, checking on people. Like, hey, man, how are you doing, Matt? You know, like, I'll ask you how you doing, but there's been many times, like, I got my own shit going on. I don't ask you. That's not a friendship. That's not what a friend should do. You know what I mean? Like, I'll beat the hell out of myself for stuff like that. But this, again, it's things to work on, too. You know, we're looking for.
Well, I mean, even right now, you're looking for stuff about you to criticize.
Yeah, right.
You know,
right.
But let's flip that around for a second. Like, how awesome is it when you, maybe for the first time, somebody that you meet for the first time, and you feel that acceptance, you feel that validation, or you get a compliment like, hey, man, I love that about you. I really like that accent, or I really like the fact that you do this. And you get some validation. How awesome is that?
Oh, it's good, but do you trust it? Do I trust it?
Oh, that's a whole nother level of you know, EMDR right there. but yeah, I mean, I guess when it hits and it hits the right way and you can trust it, it's awesome to be able to have somebody, even if it's a stranger, say, you know what? You really look happy, or I really like your smile, or, you know, that's really cool what you do for a living, or whatever it is. And you can sense the sincerity in it. There's nothing better than getting a compliment. And I think, you know, again, this is maybe off topic, but I think as men, like, I don't get a lot of compliments in my life. I don't know about you, but I don't get very many. So when they come, man, they're like little nuggets of gold for me, whether it's from my wife or from my kids or from a stranger. Like, I hang on to those. Like, somebody tells me they like my shirt, or, hey, man, your hair looks good today, or, you know, whatever stupid thing they want to talk about. Like, oh, hey, look, you look like you lost a few pounds. Man, I will hang on to that for a couple of weeks. Like, that's gonna stay with me. I love those things, man.
And you start looking in the mirror going, hey, you know what? Yeah, they right. I am looking good.
That's right. Look at that. I think that somewhere in there, there might still be a six-pack somewhere in there, maybe.
Man, well, while we're talking about this, let me just say that your beard, sir, is impeccable. Like, well, that is a beard that men dream of having on their face.
Well, it's a little grayer, a little whiter than it used to be. When I was letting it grow out a little bit, I got a couple of Santa Claus comments, especially around Christmas, so I'm trying to keep it a little more trimmed, but no, I'm liking it. I like having a beard.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Full beard there, right there, buddy. Full beard. Well done.
Thank you.
Well done.
Thank you very much. See, I'm going to hang on to that for weeks now.
Hang on to that, man. Get your brush and groom it. Look in the mirror. You know what I mean? Put some beard oil on it.
I got the oil. I got the oils. I got the brush. I got it all, man.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's going to thin too much on the top, but it sure is staying thick on the face too. So I'm happy both ways.
Yeah. Yeah. You're going to be all right, man. What are you, 51, right?
I am. I'm 51 years old.
All right. 51 right around the corner.
Yeah. You got what? April 30th is your birthday?
Yeah. Just kind of sitting around waiting on the heart attack to happen now, man. I'm just full of positivity today, right?
I know. It's like, hey, what's going on over there, Eeyore? Oh, bother.
Yeah, man. Maybe I need to write a gratitude list, you know?
Well, we all need it sometimes.
Like, but sometimes I like to sit in it. Like, I like to sit in this stuff sometimes. Like, it's as icky as it is, there's a comfort to it.
What's comfortable about it?
I don't know, because like I can spin anything any way I want. I have the luxury of being able to do that when I'm sitting in there, and I can create a story in my head, a storyline about others, about myself. And it's just like the comfort, I would say, comes from, and there's nothing healthy about any of this, right? So I'm not, these aren't tips for, you know, improving your life or staying sober by any means.
How to win friends and influence people.
Yeah, I think this is just a struggle of the human condition. The comfort of sitting in some self-pity and some negativity, and really the self-pity, and is that.
Well, seriously though, like, but we do it. We all do it. Why do you think it happens? Why do you think we choose negativity over positivity? Because the reality is, it's just as much energy to choose positivity as it is negativity. It doesn't cost any more energy to choose positivity. But why do you think we gravitate towards the negative?
God, man. Like, I feel like I should know this, but I don't. I don't know. I don't know, Matt.
Well, it takes me back to that. We read this on one of the family calls the other night, and it's from the ACA book. And we talk a little bit about expectations and having control. And, you know, there's this one part in the ACA book where it talks about the inner child and how sometimes it can sabotage us. And this person talks about hearing a radio interview one time, and how this person that was being interviewed talked about how we all live in this imaginary 15 room mansion. We have this massive house, and each room has a special meaning. You know, in one room we spend time with our kids, and in one room we spend time with our pets, and in one room we spend time with our romantic partner and lover, and in the backyard we've got all these beautiful gardens and flowers and, you know, whatever we can imagine. And all the while we're down in the basement building a bomb to blow the whole thing up. And the lesson in that, at least the lesson that I take out of that, is that sometimes I want an outcome so badly that I'll blow it up just so that I'm in control of what happens next. And I think that I spend a lot of time down there in that basement dealing with negativity and giving myself reasons to build that bomb, because it's going to fall apart eventually. Eventually things are going to go badly. And so I need to prepare for that. In fact, I need to be the one building the thing that blows it all up, because then I'm really in control of how bad it's going to go. And I'm expecting it. And I know when the bomb goes off because I'm setting the timer on it, or I've got the detonator in my hand. And so we build this bomb when everything's going great, because eventually it's not. And that's when we can blow it up. And that's when we have control. And I think that so many of us, specifically about me, I'll do that to myself, man. I will sabotage myself just to have some control sometimes.
That makes sense. I can see that in myself. Absolutely. Do that. Especially around relationships, you know, like intimate relationships. Through my history, I've sabotaged them.
You know, it's a wonder that any of us ever achieve long-term sobriety sometimes, because of just this very thinking. And I think that this kind of thinking will lead to relapse many, many times when we're not healthy, simply because, man, this is going too well. This is going too well, and I'm going to mess this up, so I might as well do it sooner rather than later. And we get on our own way. And, you know, I think that's the importance of step three, is to just get out of the way. Get out of the way, let God do what God does, and don't take credit for the outcome. Like, just let it happen, and you know, take control of what's mine to take control of today, but don't take control of all of it. You know, I'm going to have to be responsible for a lot in my life, but I don't have to try to dictate the outcome of every single detail.
The old let God handle your business, what he does with your business is none of your business.
Yes, sir.
Yes, you know, sometimes, no, go ahead.
Well, you know, you talk about intimate relationships. That quote right there is why you have the relationship that you have today. She saw that on social. I was talking to Lexi about how, you know, what got her interested in being a partner with you. And she said, I saw Sam on social media. And one of the things that I saw on his social media was, let God handle your business, and what he does with your business is none of your business. And she thought, you know what, this is the kind of guy I want in my life.
Yeah, but I fall short of that all the time, you know?
We all do, man. We all do. And I don't think that she's saying, oh, this is a perfect man, and he's going to be perfect every single day that I'm going to be in relationship with, and I'm never going to have a hard day with this guy ever because he trusts God so much. That's not what well, at least I hope that's not what she's expecting. Any woman that would expect that from you or I would be sorely disappointed.
Dude, when she listens to this, she's going to be screaming into the radio, into the speaker or whatever, screaming into wherever she's hearing this on, probably in her car on a podcast, screaming into the radio going, oh, I can tell you right now.
I always seem to get you in trouble with her, don't I? Even when I'm saying good things about both of you, I always seem to get in trouble with her.
Man, dude, I'm going to tell you, I way outkick my field of coverage with that one. Way outkick my field of coverage. I mean, there's a level of healthiness to this relationship that I've never experienced before in my life, and it scares the shit out of me sometimes. You know, it absolutely scares the shit out of me. Yeah, man, when you read that on that family meeting, when you said that, man, it hit like a ton of bricks because I was doing it at that time down in the basement, getting my wires and getting everything running, ready to build this bomb, you know, that metaphorically speaking, of course, we don't need the ATF to be, you know, rolling into the door. I'm talking about emotions here, not literal bombs. But oh yeah, I was doing that, man. I was down there just sabotaging the hell out of my relationship, just working on it, you know?
Well, and we don't even realize it's happening most of the time because it's second nature, mm-hmm. you know, and getting back to how we started, you know, talking, it's so inauthentic that we feel like we don't deserve the good things that are happening to us, you know, and we feel like we don't deserve the happiness that's coming our way. And so we got to find a way to screw it up somehow.
Yeah.
And the reality is, Sam, and anybody who happens to be, you know, sticking with us half an hour into this podcast, like, we all deserve that. We all deserve that happiness. We all deserve that joy. And, you know, if we can just stay out of the basement long enough and spend some time in those other rooms with our pets and with our children, with our spouse or partner, or with, you know, our passions, our hobbies, you know, the things that just bring us that happiness, and stay the hell out of the basement, we're going to be all right.
Yeah.
I guess the challenge for us and for everybody would be to try to find a way to be unapologetic about who we are, and try to find a way to not be afraid, you know, not be afraid to let people see us for who we are. And, you know, our people will find us, our people will gravitate towards us, man. And, usually if I let that happen, it ends up pretty well. I mean, look at you and I, you know, a couple of weirdo interventionist alcoholics who have become best friends for the last 15 years.
Yeah. And
here we are.
Yep. Here we are. Glad to be in the trench with you, Matt Brown. Glad to be on the podcast with you.
Yes, sir. I hope your day goes well, and we'll see you on the next one.
Absolutely, man. See you tomorrow.
Thanks again for listening to The Party Wreckers. If you liked what you heard, please leave us a rating and a review. This helps us get the word out to more people. To learn more or to ask us a question we can answer in a future episode, please visit us at partywreckers.com. And remember, don't enable addiction, ever. On behalf of the Party Wreckers, Matt Brown and Sam Davis, let's talk again soon.